rules and regulations read to us. David, are you going to do that?
Yes, sir, I am. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. I'm David Fecto with the City Planning Commission staff, here with some important safety announcements. The safety of our meeting attendees is our highest priority. In the event of an emergency, please pay attention to announcements on the loudspeaker, which will provide detailed information. If no announcement is made, if no announcement is heard, please follow the directions of security officers and city planning staff members. You are currently in room 18029. There are two doors along the sidewall to your left. These doors lead out to the elevator lobby. If an order is given to evacuate this room, the nearest stairway is to your right once you reach the elevator lobby. Follow the illuminated exit signs to reach the stairway. If an order is given to evacuate the building, the rally point is in Love Park, directly across Arch Street from the public entrance to this building. Please remain at the rally point so that we can account for you. Restrooms are located across from the elevators. A water fountain is located outside the board, as the zoning board hearing room, outside of 18002. And now I have a few notes about the conduct of today's meeting. During the meeting, each agenda item will be presented by a member of Planning Commission staff. Following each presentation, the chair will ask the commissioners for questions or comments. The chair will then ask the audience for questions and comments, both the virtual audience and in-person audience. After that, the commissioners will finish their discussion and vote. If you would like to speak during an agenda item's public comment period, and you're joining us online, click or tap the raise hand button on the menu bar on the bottom of your screen at any time during the agenda item. You will be called on by the chair and have the opportunity to speak to the commission and the audience. If you're calling into the meeting by phone, you can press *9 to raise your virtual hand to speak. Please use the Q&A function only if you have questions about the meeting process. Please do not use it for testimony. This meeting is being recorded and will later be posted to our website. If you are in the audience in person, please come to the table when the chair asks for public comment. Write your name on the paper provided, turn on the microphone, and speak to the commissioners. Thank you for joining us today, and now I'll turn the meeting back over to Joe Cernick, the Commission Vice Chair.
Thank you, David. First thing we need to do is to take a roll call. So I'm going to call the names. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Vallee.
Here.
Commissioner Clinton.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Somerville.
Here.
Commissioner Persico.
Here.
And of course, I'm here also, so I think that makes seven. That gives us a quorum. And that brings us to our first item, which is the approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting, May 15th. I think all of you hopefully have had a chance to look at them.
I was not here, so I'll recuse myself from that.
Okay.
I'll recuse myself as well.
And I as well.
I was not here.
With that said, I make motion to approve the minutes as they stand.
Thank you. So we have a motion from Commissioner Somerville, seconded by Commissioner Brown. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. That brings us to our executive director's update, which is going to be presented by Martine DeCant.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Martine DeCamp, Deputy Planning Director for the Philadelphia City Planning Commission. Our next meetings will be a Civic Design Review Committee on Tuesday, July 11th at 1 p.m. We also have two meetings of the City Planning Commission tentatively scheduled for Thursday, June 12th at 9 a.m. for a special meeting for the capital program amendments, which we understand may be postponed. And a regular meeting Thursday, July 17th at 1 p.m. These are both tentative until we receive more information. These meetings will be hosted in person in room 18029 of 1515 Arch Street and on Zoom. Our first announcement is RCO registration. We're accepting applications for organizations interested in applying to become a registered community organization. And for existing registered community organizations whose registration expires this summer, this registration period started on June 1st and will end on June 30th. We will send an email to RCOs who are due for renewal, notifying them about the upcoming registration requirement. We will host two free information sessions for RCOs. These sessions will be on June 12th at noon in person in this room at 1515 Arch Street, and a virtual session on Zoom will be held on June 18th at 6 p.m. Both sessions will cover the same information. Folks can also search Philadelphia RCO to find the RCO site with information on how to register. Please send any questions about the registration and renewal process to rco@phila.gov or call the RCO coordinator at 215-683-4646. Next, the Streets Department will be holding an outreach event for the Belmont Side Path Project on June 14th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the West Park Arts Fest in West Fairmount Park. This project will reconstruct the existing side path to create a safe, attractive connection for people walking and riding bikes in and through Fairmount Park West. The reconstructed, upgraded side path will provide access to numerous cultural, historical, community, and recreation attractions for residents and visitors. This project will contribute to Philadelphia's multimodal transportation network and support local and regional transportation connectivity and safety goals. More information can be obtained at trails@phila.gov. Okay, next, we have three streets bills that meet our policy for administrative approval. All of these encroachments meet the city's complete streets policy. Bill number 250569 allows a sidewalk cafe and canopy at 2654 South 10th Street. This will leave a minimum of 8 feet of unobstructed sidewalk width for the cafe and 14 feet for the canopy. Bill number 250570 allows a sidewalk cafe at 2101 East York Street. This will leave 6 feet of unobstructed sidewalk width. And bill number 250576 allows a sidewalk cafe at 426 to 28 West Girard Avenue. This will leave 5 feet of unobstructed sidewalk width on Lawrence Street and 8 feet on Girard Avenue. Since each of these bills meets the city's complete streets policy, we are recommending approval. That concludes my executive director's update. I'm happy to take any questions and we'll turn the meeting back over to the chair.
Thank you, Martine. So are there any questions from the commissioners about the executive director's report? Seeing or hearing none, are there any questions from the audience? Again, seeing or hearing none, we'll move on. That will take us to our next agenda item, which is a review and comment item. It's a nomination of the 6600 block of Blakemore Street in Philadelphia for the Register of Historic Places.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Kim Chantry. I'm on the staff of the Historical Commission. And I'm going to be speaking briefly about the proposal to designate the Blakemore Street Historic District. This nomination was submitted to the Historical Commission by Oscar Beisert of the Keeping Society and was funded by the East Mount Airy Neighbors. Property owners have received written notice of the proposed Historic District and the two upcoming public meetings of the Historical Commission where the nomination will be considered. As part of the process of creating new historic districts, the city's historic preservation ordinance requires that the Planning Commission review and comment to ensure the designation is in line with larger city policies and plans. So this proposed historic district is in the Mount Airy neighborhood of Upper Northwest Philadelphia, shown here on this map. The proposed district includes just 29 properties that were constructed in 1926 and 1927, all Tudor Revival twin apartment houses on the 6600 block of Blakemore Street. The proposed boundaries are shown outlined here. The proposed significance of the district lies primarily in the cohesive Tudor Revival architectural style of the twins, which you can see on the screen here. And also here's another view of this street. The proposed Blakemore Street Historic District is in keeping with the Philadelphia 2035 citywide vision and district plans. Specifically, Citywide Vision Renew 8.1.1 to preserve culturally, historically, and architecturally significant building sites, structures, and districts, and to ensure that new construction is compatible with historic districts. It's also in keeping with the Upper Northwest District Plan Renew to list historic districts and properties on the Philadelphia Register of Historic Places, focusing on themes identified by residents and other stakeholders. And the Planning Commission staff has confirmed to the Historical Commission that this proposed historic district does not interfere with any adopted plans. And this concludes the presentation.
Thank you, Kim. Any questions for Kim? Again, our task here is simply to review and comment. There's no action taken by us.
I have a question. So what was the feedback? I'm assuming there was a community meeting with the residents that are going to be impacted. Or the owners?
So we have not yet. So there are two upcoming meetings of the Historical Commission. So our Committee on Historic Designation is scheduled to review this at its July 16th public meeting. And then the Historical Commission is scheduled to review it on August 8th. So you're actually the first time that this is technically going before the public. But we have mailed the requisite notice to all the property owners. And I don't believe we have actually heard from anyone yet, like no phone calls, no emails asking any questions.
Okay, thank you.
That's another question. Mm-hmm. So this area was chosen because of the design structure of the Tudors versus the age, because I also live in the Northwest and there's a lot of housing that's this age.
Yes.
The other piece I would suggest is you move forward to talk to the community for those that own these homes. To make sure that it's clear that they understand what this means in the context of it. Because, you know, I know in some spaces, whether that's Philadelphia or other cities, you can't change the appearance as far as paint. Certain paint color has to be used, so on and so forth. So that needs to be communicated clearly to the community if that's a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you elaborate on who made the nomination and what their role is here?
So the nomination was authored by an individual, Oscar Beisert. He is the head of an entity called the Keeping Society of Philadelphia. And my understanding is that the nomination was funded by the East Mount Airy Neighbors, which is the civic association, the local civic association here, that they had paid Oscar to author the nomination. He authors many nominations that the Historical Commission receives, so he's sort of known as someone who can, you know, pull a nomination together rather quickly. So it was submitted by the local civic association, but Oscar himself had done the research and authored the nomination.
Can you talk more about the plan consistency? There's the part focusing on themes identified by residents and other stakeholders, what those themes were?
Very good question. I feel like that's almost for the planning staff, but I'm not sure if anyone here.
Yeah. So when we did the comprehensive plan last time, we worked with the Historical Commission staff. So this was our way of incorporating the desire to make sure that we're looking at preservation in the city. And so this is just a broad brush stroke of saying, you know, we agree with the idea of taking a look and considering historic preservation where possible.
Okay, and I do have another question. Like, I noticed that the air conditioning units are kind of attached. There's also like satellite dishes. So such a nomination, is it going to regulate things like that? Is it backwards facing or?
No, it's a good question. So I will say that historic designation in general, listing on the Philadelphia Register of Historic Places, does not regulate, specifically does not regulate window air conditioning units, since those are considered temporary and removable. And also like that satellite dish that you see there, that would also not be something that anyone's applying for a permit for. So the Historical Commission staff wouldn't end up seeing it. But also, anything that's in place at the time of designation is technically allowed to remain. It's more or less grandfathered in until the such time that an owner chooses to do work to the exterior of their building, and then at that time, when a building permit application is submitted, our staff works with them.
Okay, I'm here.
Just one last. When and where would the information be published from the feedback from the neighbors or the owners and the neighbors?
Yeah. So in terms of what the Historical Commission will see of that, there are meeting minutes that we type up from each of our meetings. So any owner or member of the public who chooses to participate, that will get recorded in our meeting minutes for the Committee on Historic Designation meeting and then also the Historical Commission meeting. And those are posted online and made available to the public. And then also if anyone comments in advance, if we receive any written comments in advance from property owners or the public, we post that online immediately as owner or public comment, and that then also gets communicated up to the committee members and the commissioners.
Okay, I think that's all the questions from the commissioners. Anybody from the audience wish to question anything? Okay, hearing none. Oh, David?
Chair, there is someone online, Mr. Gooden. If you could please unmute yourself and speak to the commissioners. And a reminder, it has to be on the item that we're reviewing right now. Thank you.
How you doing? I'm Ronald Gooden.
Yes, please proceed.
I was wondering, like, is the project, the historical project she's talking about, will that help with the community, like, as far as jobs? Will they give, like, will they help with jobs, like, for the community and giving back to the community what they're doing, because nobody knows what's going on in the community? Hello?
Yeah. All right. We're looking around to see who wants to take that one.
I don't really see how the historic district designation here specifically would assist with that, with jobs in the community.
Like y'all building stuff in the community. Nobody knowing y'all building stuff because nobody getting back. Nobody calling y'all back. It's just a lot of stuff happening, and I want to know, like, has the community evolved?
But I think what we're doing here is if it gets placed on the register, we're simply noting that these buildings have historic significance. We're not talking about doing anything with them or any construction. So even while your question is well meant and well put forward, it really isn't, I think, directly relevant to what we're talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just thought y'all was building more stuff. That's why I wanted to know if there was any opportunities, like jobs and stuff for the community, because I thought y'all was building new stuff in the community. That's all.
Okay, good point. Thank you. David, is that it?
I have no other hands.
Okay, well, again, I think our role here is simply to review and comment, and we've done that. Kim, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, another.
We do have another question. Come on.
So I do have one question with regard to,
bend this down.
Does that work better? Okay. With regard to the historic designation as it relates to renovations, I think I heard you say that it would impact any renovations to be comparable to what's in the neighborhood, right? Because I know this neighborhood and it's filled with a lot of multifamily dwellings. So anyone doing renovation in that area would be required to have similar facades, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
So it's specifically these 29 properties
I know them.
Shown here. It's not anything outside of this boundary. So anytime, what would happen is that if a building permit is applied for with the Department of Licenses and Inspections for work to any of these properties, while the historic district designation is under review, or if it does
get listed eventually on the Philadelphia Register of Historic Places. Any building permit application that gets submitted to LNI would get automatically routed to the Historical Commission staff for review first. And we don't have any jurisdiction over the interior work to the buildings. Okay, so we would just move that along. And then even exterior work, we really focus on what's visible from the public right of way, and we review in sort of that context.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did you state your name? I'm sorry. Did you state your name? If you could, you, for the record?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Jackie Sims.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Sims. Okay. Well, now we're going to move to agenda item number 4. It's an action item. It was an agenda item that was held for 45 days in April, and it concerns notification to city council members of historic designations.
Good afternoon. I'm Paula Brumlow Burns with the legislation team. I am presenting Bill number 250334, which will amend section 1400 of the Philadelphia Code, entitled Historic Preservation, that requires notification to city council members of historical designations in the city of Philadelphia. Before we go into details, here is a slide showing the process of a zoning bill, and that the commission will weigh in today to ensure that the zoning bill is aligned with the city's overall goals for development. So, the bill will enhance the existing notification section by now requiring that city council members shall be notified of proposed designations at least 10 business days prior to the scheduled public hearing concerning the proposed designation, and approved designations within 5 business days following the approval of the historic designation. Included in the text are the content and method of notification, along with a requirement that the clerk of council acknowledged receipt of notification and how records will be kept. The Historic Commission is already meeting these requirements since this bill has been introduced, but this will codify it. And our staff recommendation is approval.
Paula, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions of Paula from the commission? Hearing none. Any questions from the audience? Hearing none. We would entertain a motion.
I see one hand raised in the audience. Not seeing who it is. Caller, if you could please unmute yourself and address. Oh, Suzanne Ponson. Please unmute yourself and address your comments or questions to the commissioners.
Yes, Suzanne Ponson, President, West Central Germantown Neighbors, RCO. And this is citywide. It's not restricted to any one city council district. This is a citywide, this would be a citywide notification.
Yes, this bill applies to every council district. It is citywide. It is not just one neighborhood.
Okay.
So this will be universal in the code.
Very good. Thank you.
Dave, is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Hearing that, we'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the staff recommendation for approval.
I second.
So we have a motion made by Commissioner Gonzalez, seconded by Commissioner Valle. Vote on that. We're going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez?
Aye.
Commissioner Valle?
Aye.
Commissioner Clinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville?
Aye.
Commissioner Persico?
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Thank you. Our next action item, another one held 45 days in April. It's amending the Philadelphia Code entitled Zoning and Parking by some revisions to the one-year rule. And I believe this is going to be presented by David Fecto.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair Cernick, and good afternoon, Commissioners. David Fecto with the City Planning Commission. As our Vice Chair said, the Commission asked for this bill to be held for 45 days at our April meeting so we could do some more homework and get some more information for you, and we did so, and so we're bringing this back to you. This bill will amend Title 14 will change potentially the one-year rule to a three-year rule, although we have had word that one of the sponsors potentially is going to request a change to only a two-year rule. We'll explain what all that means in a minute. Okay, so currently at the Zoning Board of Adjustment, anyone who files an appeal to the board and has that appeal either denied or dismissed, that appeal can only be brought back after 1 year if it's a substantially similar project. So substantially similar, pretty much the same. This bill would change that timeline to 3 years. So I want to explain what denial and dismissal means for those of you who might not know. A denial is simply the zoning board saying, we don't think you met the standards. We disagree with the appeal. We'll say the appeal is denied. So it's pretty straightforward. Dismissals are a little bit different. A dismissal is when an appellant doesn't show up to present their appeal, or their attorney doesn't show up if they're represented by an attorney. Now, the zoning board does have regulations that require that they hear a case at least twice, or schedule a hearing at least twice, right? And if someone doesn't show up for the second hearing, then they can dismiss the case. Now, in reality, the way the board works is they typically will give appellants more time, especially if they know that the person does not speak English or does not speak English very well or needs an interpreter. But the practice is that they are allowed to dismiss a case after the second hearing of the person being a no-show. So at the April Commission meeting, planning staff recommended approval of this bill because based on the information we had, which was very little, we didn't think it had much of an impact. Commissioners requested more time for staff to review the bill and determine potential impacts. So what we did is we reached out to both the City Council sponsors, both Councilmember O'Neill's office and Councilmember Driscoll's office, and we received word back from them that their intention for this bill was to discourage multiple applications by unscrupulous developers. Well, their words, not ours, but that wasn't very informative. So we reached out to zoning board staff, specifically the zoning board's executive director and attorney, and we also had more discussions among our staff. And these are the issues that we identified. We thought that we found that equity was actually a bigger factor relating to the dismissals, not the denials. Often appellants are new to the zoning appeals process and are under-resourced. When we analyzed cases, right, for this labor-intensive process, we found that in the last 3 years, approximately 80% of cases that had been dismissed had no representation by an attorney. And so the technical term for that is pro se, P-R-O-S-E. We also found that, kind of interestingly, in 2024, most of those dismissals were also requesting visitor accommodations. So their zoning board attorney identified an issue that there could be a potential to generate more appeals to the Court of Common Pleas for dismissals, and that, of course, would create more paperwork for an already overwhelmed zoning board staff. And then we also wanted to note that regardless of whether it's a one-year, two-year, or three-year hold on an appellant applying again for the substantially similar case to the board, appellants always have the option to appeal the rule to the zoning board and ask them to grant relief. So we are going to change our recommendation because of this equity issue. We're going to change it to not for approval, and we would request that you agree with us and do the same.
David, thank you. Question is for David from the commissioners.
There's a process for getting a reconsideration, correct? What is
yes.
that, and how does that work exactly?
So the reconsideration process requires that you have new information for the case, and then you file a request for reconsideration with zoning board staff. I'm going to ask for an assist. How many days do we think, do we know? Is it like 30 days? Within 30 days. You have to file. And what happens is the zoning board will bring the appellant back. They'll ask them to state their case for reconsideration, and the board will vote either yes to reconsideration or no to reconsideration. If they vote yes to reconsideration, they'll schedule a new appeal on their calendar.
Quick question.
Yes.
To follow up for reconsideration. So if this is about equity issue, so
yes.
I'm assuming that most of these dismissals or denials never came back or knew that they could do a reconsideration. Is that accurate?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. Because I mean, we've obviously not been able to check with the folks whose cases were dismissed. So I would assume that if they don't know the process, they wouldn't know about a reconsideration, but I don't want to say something that's not true.
The previous slide said 80% were what is it, 83% dismissed?
Of dismissed cases did not have an attorney representing them.
Thank you.
And so we do consider that to be a disadvantage versus appellants who are represented by an attorney.
Also, I just want to say that the proposed bill also presents a disadvantage to individuals that don't have an attorney, because if you have an attorney, you can also appeal and possibly, you know, file another application within, you know, soon after, you know, it was denied or dismissed. So
that's fair.
I have a question. Do we know how they're defining substantially similar?
I'd have to look that up in the code, but our interpretation is it's essentially the same application.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Don't seem to be. Anybody from the audience wish to comment on this? Again, don't seem to be. All right. With that, we do have...
Chair, we do have one person, Matt McClure, in the virtual audience. I have promoted him and allowed him to speak.
Commissioners, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm testifying in my individual capacity of a resident of the East Falls section of Philadelphia. Acting Chair, you remember the fight with Gary Barbera's expansion years ago? This ordinance has its history back then when it became the one-year rule. And I thought it was unfair then. I think it's unfair now. I understand what council has been trying to do, but at the end of the day, it is an equity issue. And the vast majority of people that come to the zoning board don't have attorneys like me. They're normal residents, like my grandma or my uncle or relatives. And a failure of proof is something that is easy to make, and you should be able to come back to the board again in order to present a case. Maybe you will get an attorney, maybe we'll get a pro bono attorney, but to bar them to come back, or a future owner to come back, for someone who just didn't have the means or the knowledge, is an equity issue. And as a member of the bar, I absolutely applaud the recommendation and research that the commission staff has done here. I didn't plan to testify today, but was moved by what they've done, and they're absolutely right. And I urge you to recommend denial. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
There are no other hands in the virtual audience raised at this time, Chair.
Okay. So with that, the Chair would entertain a motion.
Motion to accept that recommendation.
Which is not for approval, right?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Commissioner Brown, seconded by Commissioner Vallee. That, again, is to accept the staff recommendation, which is not for approval. We're going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez?
Aye.
Commissioner Vallee? Commissioner Clinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville?
Aye.
Commissioner Persica?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. Okay, next item is it's a amendment to the Philadelphia zoning maps with some changes designating certain areas of land located within an area bounded by Roosevelt Boulevard, 9th Street, Erie Avenue, and Broad Street.
Thank you, Vice Chair. My name is Camilla Zania. This is a timeline of the zoning map change process. The Planning Commission's role is to weigh in to make sure that the zoning map change is aligned with the city's overall goals for development.
As you might remember, Planning Commission staff presented to you in November 2024 for a remapping proposal for the south section of the 43rd Ward, outlined in orange. Today's bill is for the north section of the 43rd Ward, outlined in blue. For some more site context, this area is in North Philadelphia, situated to the east of SEPTA's Hunting Park and Erie Beeline stations. It's also west and south of Hunting Park. This area was last remapped in 1933. Since then, land use and neighborhood conditions have changed, and an updated zoning map will help guide development in the current conditions. The yellow lines represent the areas proposed for remapping. This map shows the current zoning of the area, which is predominantly residential, multifamily, and medium industrial. The land outlined in black are the properties recommended for updated zoning. This bill would change the area to the zoning proposed on the screen. Again, the land outlined in black are the properties recommended for updated zoning. Two of the main recommendations are to rezone medium industrial properties to industrial commercial mixed use or residential mixed use, and to rezone some of the properties from residential multifamily to residential single family. Planning Commission staff met with the council member's office, Councilmember Young, multiple times throughout the remapping process, hosted three community meetings at Little Flower High School, and produced a survey in both English and Spanish for residents. The common zoning themes we heard from community members are the desire for single family blocks, higher density along Broad Street, and rezoning blocks to reflect the current character on the ground. The information we gathered from the council member's office and the community helped guide our zoning recommendations. The citywide comprehensive plan recommends encouraging higher density, mixed use development at transit stations, rezoning obsolete industrial land for neighborhood compatible redevelopment, as well as applying industrial mixed use zoning in transition areas. And the North District Plan recommends the preservation of single family housing stock through zoning. And for these reasons just stated, Planning Commission staff recommends zoning bill 250493 for approval.
Thank you, Camilla. I'm going to ask the first question. Could you go back to your first slide, please? The first map, I guess.
Okay.
That one.
Sure.
First of all, very complicated slide. It's making my head hurt.
I'm sorry.
But along the 9th Street side there, there looks to be one block that's not included in the yellow lines. And maybe there's a block over towards Broad Street that also is not included. Maybe there's two over there. What's the deal with those?
Yeah, great question. Later today, we'll present on a new zoning district proposal called RTA2. If that bill passes, we plan to go back to these areas to remap a few parcels that would benefit from residential two-family attached zoning.
All right, thank you. Other questions from the commissioners?
I have a question. Do we anticipate any change in the the industrial parcels as far as maybe any additional construction to change it to more of a residential area or is it going to stay with the existing use? Because I think it changed in the rezoning.
I don't think we anticipate any change. Yeah, it's active industry currently.
Can you talk about, in the areas that are multifamily that will be updated to single family, can you talk about like the existing land uses that are there now? Is there a lot of multifamily currently existing in those areas, or is it mostly multifamily? Like, what does that look like on the ground?
It's mostly single family currently, and residents overwhelmingly asked us to preserve those blocks as single family.
Another question. So are the residents seeing around them conversions of single families into multifamily? Is this the push for them?
I don't think I heard any confirmation of that statement.
The
we don't know whether or not that's one of the
correct. I have a question. So the blocks that you left out and those are being proposed under the new zoning, that's because that's currently the use in those blocks? Multifamily duplexes?
For the most part.
There are no more questions from the commissioners. I'll ask if there's any questions from the audience. And seeing none, I'll ask this time whether there's anybody on the phone.
Thank you, sir. I did receive an email from someone who is going to call in today. I'm not seeing any raised hands. If we could wait just like maybe 30 seconds. I'm not seeing a hand. Perhaps she'll call in later. I'll have to say no.
Okay. Well, that being the case, the chair would entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the staff recommendation for approval.
I second.
So we have a motion made by Commissioner Gonzalez, seconded by Commissioner Somerville, to accept staff recommendation. I'm going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez?
Aye.
Commissioner Valle?
Aye.
Commissioner Clinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville?
Aye.
Commissioner Persico?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you. The next is another action item. It's a zoning bill, and it's going to be presented by Michael Gall.
Good afternoon, Chair and Commissioners. My name is Michael Gall with the Planning Commission staff, and I'm here today to present Bill number 250523, introduced by Councilmember Gautier for Council President Johnson on May 12, 2025, amending Title 14 of the Philadelphia Code entitled Zoning and Planning, revising and clarifying certain provisions and making technical changes, all under certain terms and conditions. And that sounds like a very vague, short title to present. This is the first of four administration bills you will see presented to you today that comprise the first four Tier 1 legislative actions being taken in support of Mayor Parker's Home Initiative, which stands for Housing Opportunities Made Easy. With an overall goal to create or preserve 30,000 units of housing across the city with an intentional emphasis on affordable, safe, healthy, quality housing, this sweeping set of policies, ordinances, and procedural changes has been underway from the very early days of the Parker administration. Department of Planning and Development staff were tapped to generate a list of ideas, both legislative and non-legislative, that would meet specific goals within the overall plan and to gauge these by ease and impact for prioritization purposes. This particular action stems from the Standing Zoning Technical Committee, comprised of staff from the Planning Commission staff, Law, and L&I. This group meets quarterly to review technical issues identified in the application, interpretation, and enforcement of the zoning code. Planning Commission staff keep a running tally of technical issues raised by this committee and craft legislation periodically to correct these issues in an effort to keep the zoning code clear, understandable, and transparent to the public. The last zoning technical omnibus bill was reviewed by the commission in September 2022, so this action is comprised of all issues in sum that have been identified over city staff over the last 3 years. So when the mayor asked the Department of Planning and Development, tasked the Department of Planning and Development with supplying recommendations for legislation pursuant to her home initiative goals, this was a piece of legislation already 3 years in the making. This first set of technical corrections is being made to the definitions subsection of the zoning code. First, definitions are established for terms used elsewhere in the code but never defined, such as flag lot, promoted event, and promoter. Definition of pool or billiards room is likewise removed for clarity since it was excised from the zoning code with the 2023 bill that redefined and reorganized the nightclub section of the code. Under administration and procedures, a clarification was added to grant Planning Commission staff the prerequisite approval authority for zoning permits for developments within the MIN Mixed Income Neighborhoods Overlay District. This is consistent with previous policy under actions already reviewed by the Commission. But the code was never amended to reflect this responsibility that has been in effect for several years. Under the heading of base zoning districts, a change was made to the special purpose institutional or SPINS district.
With the nightclub bill that I mentioned a moment ago, pool and billiards rooms were removed from a list of prohibited uses along Germantown Avenue, but the list had never been renumbered in the code. This action corrects the numbering issue. In Chapter 14600, under use regulations, this bill adds clarity to the definition of the personal vehicle repair and maintenance use category to now include activities that reprogram and repair and replace electrical components in personal vehicles, which is already widely done in most personal vehicle repair locations. It also adds entries to the use table for residential districts to include the previously reviewed policies on medical marijuana dispensaries and smoking lounges. And it edits the table note for special purpose districts to remove references to pool and billiards rooms for the same reason I mentioned a moment ago. Under Chapter 14700, the table note with the minimum lot size standards for RSA 5 by council districts was added to show the different definitions across the city. A note under green roof bonus criteria section was also removed to match the existing parking lot landscaper requirements. Under the landscape and trees code in 1475, the bill clarifies that existing walls and fences along street frontage are not considered structures for the purposes of that subsection, and adds language to match the existing provisions regarding buffering along rights of way. Within the parking section of the zoning code, changes are made to clarify locations of accessory parking in residential attached housing districts, prohibit accessory parking in front of CMX1 properties per previous legislation, and clarify and reorganize the landscape screening requirements. The legislation also clarifies material requirements for decorative walls and fences for perimeter screening and replaces terms such as lots with parcels to avoid confusion for plan reviewers who have in the past mistaken parking lots for development. A provision that I mentioned a moment ago to not count walls or fences along street frontage as structures for the purposes of landscape screening and parking lots was originally included here, but has since been proposed to be removed through an amendment, as staff now believes this to be too substantive a change and too substantive a provision to include in an otherwise purely technical bill. And finally, under the heading of historic preservation, several expired moratoria were removed from the code, and notification requirements for designations are updated to include not only the property owner, but also the current resident, which is current practice, but just wasn't codified in the zoning code. Bill number 250253, currently before you, is referred to city staff as the Zoning Technical Omnibus, and is the first bill you will hear about today in the aforementioned Tier 1 package of legislation in the Parker Administration's Home Initiative. Through making these purely technical corrections to the code, the intention is to speed up the review process for zoning permits and to reduce the cost barriers to development and the generation of housing units. As you can see, these actions are wholly technical and not substantive policy changes in nature. They have been reviewed thoroughly by Planning Commission staff and the Law Department to ensure that they only provide clarity and transparency to the code and provide no major changes in city policy. And so for these reasons, on Bill number 250523, staff recommendation is for approval with amendments.
Thank you. Questions from the commissioners? Hearing none. Questions from the audience? Hearing none. David, do we have anybody on the phone?
No, sir.
Okay. That being the case, we'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion for acceptance of recommendations from staff for approval with amendments.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second.
We have a second. So motion is by Commissioner Gonzalez. The second is by Commissioner Valle. I'm going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez?
Aye.
Commissioner Valle?
Aye.
Commissioner Clinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville? Commissioner Persico.
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Another zoning bill amending portions of the Philadelphia Code is going to be presented by Madison Matera.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Madison Matera, she, her, with the Planning Commission staff. I'm here today to present Bill number 250524, amending Section 14802 of the Philadelphia Code, entitled Motor Vehicle Parking Ratios, by removing residential parking ratio minimums for the CMX 4 and CMX 5 zoning districts, all under certain terms and conditions. This bill was introduced by Councilmember Gaultier on behalf of Council President Johnson on May 15, 2025. This bill will remove the minimum parking standards for multifamily residential use in the CMX-4 and CMX-5 commercial mixed-use zoning districts. Currently, there is no minimum parking requirement for single-family and two-family uses in CMX-4 and CMX-5. However, multifamily use requires 3 parking spaces per 10 units. This bill will remove the minimum required 3-to-10 ratio for multifamily and set it to 0. As a note, this bill is just removing the requirement to build a minimum number of parking spaces. It is not prohibiting parking or preventing parking from being built. Here you can see the distribution of CMX-4 and CMX-5 districts citywide, and it is concentrated and clustered within Greater Center City, University City, and in communities along Broad Street and near Penn's Landing waterfront. Staff analysis also revealed that there are locations in the 8th and 10th Council districts where CMX-4 was erroneously mapped, and Commission staff have worked with those council offices to craft and transmit legislation to remap those locations to more appropriate districts. Here you can see the SEPTA Metro B and L lines over the distribution of CMX-4 and CMX-5, the B line in yellow and the L line in blue. Here are the regional rail lines, and as a note, this is just SEPTA regional rail. This does not include non-SEPTA carriers operating in this district, such as PATCO and Amtrak. Here you can see the distribution of trolley and bus routes, the trolley routes in green and the bus routes in black. And here is the on-street bike network. And here is the connectivity to the Circuit Trails network, including newly filled gap segments along the Schuylkill River Trail. You can also see routes in the pipeline along Spring Garden Street and the Delaware River Trail system to complete the Philadelphia Gap and the East Coast Greenway. As you can see, the current mapped area of CMX-4 and CMX-5 zoning districts in Philadelphia represents one of the most connected locations in the region in terms of options for users of all modes and physical abilities. It is the area in the region with the highest supply of non-accessory parking facilities and an area where households are less likely to own a car compared to households citywide. This bill was conceptualized by Planning Commission staff to support the Mayor's Home Initiative. This bill achieves 2 of the goals of the Home Initiative, reducing the cost of development and increasing housing unit production. For lowering the cost of development, eliminating the requirement for parking could greatly reduce the cost of residential development in the CMX-4 and CMX-5 zoning districts. Parking can be expensive to build, and this bill will allow developers to build the amount of parking they see fit for a specific development and save money for those who want to build less parking. According to WGI's parking structure cost outlook for 2024, the average construction cost for a new parking structure in Philadelphia is $34,176 per parking space. For housing unit production, currently above ground parking counts towards the maximum allowable floor area ratio, or FAR. Developers only have so much FAR to work with in a development. And in many instances, building required parking underground is not feasible and more expensive. With no required parking required, more housing units could be built using the area that would have been reserved for parking. The diagram on the right, for illustrative purposes only, shows the size of a 650 square foot one-bedroom apartment compared to the size of 2 parking spaces, which can vary in size from 660 square feet to 800 square feet. This bill is consistent with Objective 4.1.3 of the Comprehensive Plan Citywide Vision, coordinate land use decisions with existing and planned transit assets to increase transportation choices, decrease reliance on automobiles, increase access to jobs, goods, and services, and maximize the economic, environmental, and public health benefits of transit, and 4.3.2, control automobile congestion through traffic management and planning. Staff found a minor technical issue with the bill that was resolved with an amendment. Therefore, staff recommendation is for approval with amendments.
Thank you, Madison. Questions from the commission? None. Questions from the audience? None. Yep, we have a question. Go ahead.
So, I applaud the mayor for
you know, proposing these changes to allow for more development of housing, because the city does need more affordable and just housing overall. I think one of the concerns that I have is that as we're looking to develop, you know, the city, that we take into account how we build spaces that are welcoming to people with disabilities. That, yes, you know, all the land that we have is very valuable and it will be in its best use to create housing, but also to consider what other ways we can serve persons with disabilities with some type of limited parking for them, because public transit is not always the best at being able to serve them. So that's just my comment. Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other comments, we'll ask David if there's anyone on the call.
Vice Chair, I have no one on the call, but I do have, and this is a bit new, we're going back to old school. We have a paper letter submitted by Job Itzkowitz, Executive Director of the Old City District. Would you like me to read this to the commissioners? You all are now being given a copy.
Well, what's the pleasure of my colleagues? Would you like to have David read it, or would you like to just look this over yourselves?
I believe it's generally in support of the bill, but let me know what you want me to do.
David, would you be able to summarize that, do you think?
Just sure.
It looks like the last paragraph is almost a summary.
It seems like it. So, again, it's from Joe Bitzkowitz, Executive Director of the Old City District, testifying on Bill 250524. Mr. Itzkowitz says, in conclusion, the elimination of parking mandates has greatly benefited Old City. And then he goes on in his letter to describe some situations with some developments in the immediate area that occupy land that was, you know, previously parking, and believes that this bill would be a positive.
Thank you. And by the way, I kind of like what you described as the old school approach. On paper.
Vice Chair, I feel I need to make a comment. Generally, I'm in support of this. My concern is the situation with SEPTA at the moment. So it's, in my mind, an opportunity to just harp on how critical and crucial appropriate public transportation is in order to meet the goals of the mayor, and how we can be talking about this and not considering the issue that we're facing with SEPTA. I don't know how we can have this conversation in the absence of that.
Do you have a suggestion as to what we should be doing? And you're talking to somebody who took the 9 bus into work this morning, so.
No, as a business owner, I have folks that really rely on public transportation, and the conversation is what's going to happen when my public transportation is not there, and what they're going to have to do is drive. And so they're just directly against one another. So I don't know what the recommendation is other than to continue to highlight, you know, the kind of dire situation of a city like ours without appropriate parking, appropriate public transportation.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I also think about how policies like this encourage the use of public transportation as well, and how the more we can look into things like this, into TOD and that sort of thing, the more we can support SEPTA by increasing ridership.
Okay, with that, I think we've are done with all the questions from every source. And if that's the case, we'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations to approve with amendments.
Second.
So we have a recommendation from Commissioner Persico and a second from Commissioner Clinton, was it? Yes. I'm going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Aye.
Commissioner Valle. Commissioner Clinton.
Aye.
Commissioner Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville.
Aye.
Commissioner Persico.
Aye.
The ayes have it. All right. Next agenda item. It's a zoning bill. with the creation of a new zoning district entitled RTA2.
Good afternoon, everybody. Please let me know if you can hear me well. My name is Amy Borden with the Planning Commission staff, and I'm here to present Bill number 250525. The bill is entitled Amending Title 14 of the Philadelphia Zoning Code, entitled Zoning and Planning for the Creation of a New Zoning District, entitled RTA2, Residential Two-Family Attached, all under certain terms and conditions. This bill was introduced by Councilmember Gratte on May 15th, 2025. The bill creates a new zoning district entitled RTA2, Residential Two-Family Attached. The new district allows single-family and two-family uses. The dimensional requirements are largely similar to RSA 5, Residential Single-Family, which is the most common zoning district for row homes. There are two goals in this zoning district. The first is to create a district for row home neighborhoods that supports more housing units, is in character with the density, scale, and housing type of those neighborhoods, and is predictable. Map changes can also help avoid zoning refusals and therefore hearings at the Zoning Board of Adjustment for uses that are often granted. This designation will hit the sweet spot in zoning that is not currently met with existing districts. The closest matches are RSA 5, RM1, and RTA 1. The new district allows more housing units than RSA 5 residential single family. It is more predictable and often less dense than RM1 residential multifamily. And the RTA 2 dimensions are more in character with row home neighborhoods, unlike RTA 1 residential two family. Here is a breakdown of how the requirements for those similar districts compare. RTA 2 is similar in dimensional standards to RSA 5 and RM1, but with the same dwelling unit allowance as RTA 1. RM1's unit count is based on lot size. On similar lots, this often results in two units in a row home. However, these lots can be combined to create larger developments. Meanwhile, RTA 1 requires larger lots and side yards and is a semi-detached or twin district. Remapping can avoid sending cases to the Zoning Board of Adjustments for variances for cases that are often granted. 21% of Zoning Board cases were approvals for two-unit homes in RSA 5 and RM1 in 2020 and 2023. Note that this bill creates the district, but it does not apply to any area. Separate bills would be required for any map changes. When mapped, this bill may bring structures into conformance with the zoning code and therefore avoid the variance process. Sometimes there are two-family row homes in districts where only one family is allowed. This can happen because the condition existed before the original 1933 mapping. Before the original 1965 single-family row home district was created or remapped under more modern codes. This bill supports the home plan's goals for reduced costs, housing production, and cleaning green. First, this action reduces the need for costly variance procedures for densifying larger housing stock in places designated for multifamily use. Second, the bill allows for two-family residential use in buildings largely built for single-family units, creating density for smaller scale than RM1 zoning currently encourages. Third, by encouraging densification as an adaptive reuse of existing housing stock and discourages what's perceived as overbuilding by residential neighborhoods. This action aligns with the administration's sustainability goals. The plan also supports the citywide vision's Thrive recommendations to stabilize existing housing stock and provide a range of housing choice throughout the city. Staff recommendation is for approval.
Thank you, Amy. Questions from the commission? Questions from the audience? David?
Chair, I see no hands raised.
Okay. That being the case, but we have a question.
How would this bill impact, let's say, a small two-story row house in the owner converting it into two apartments?
So in order to have this bill affect any property, it would have to be mapped. Mm-hmm. So the just like Camilla's bill that they presented, we would have to have a mapping bill just like that. So based on the dimensional requirements that if this were applied to that property, then they would be able to have one family or two family use.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are there any examples of the types of neighborhoods or areas where this would be most useful, like where it would be mapped onto?
There are a lot of neighborhoods throughout our city, which is kind of the conceptualization of this bill, where we see a lot of row homes that are two-family, either historically or newly. Camilla gave an example in the Harching Park neighborhood of places where we've spoken with council members about possibly remapping those. But any specific remappings would be based on council action.
So that's going to, the remapping is going to become up to council people bringing it up and making the app.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you think we would get a remapping request based off of new development or potentially like new neighborhood construction?
I can't predict that. I don't know.
I'll say possibly. I think the impetus of this, though, was to look at the existing housing stock and to try to match what we currently have and to allow for the units that are currently already being approved by the zoning board.
And districts 3 and 5, those council members have told us that they're interested in using this district.
But that's an interesting question. So vacant lots could be rezoned in this way and therefore allow them.
Yes.
Okay, so I think we've exhausted questions from all sources. If so, we'd entertain a motion.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
I second.
So we have a motion to accept from Commissioner Brown, seconded by Commissioner Somerville. I'm going to call the roll. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Aye.
Commissioner Valle. Commissioner Clinton.
Aye.
Commissioner Brown.
Aye.
Commissioner Somerville.
Aye.
Commissioner Persico.
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Brings us to our next agenda items, and in fact, there's two items, numbers 10 and 11. My understanding is that these are related and may be presented together.
Correct.
Although I would like to actually take them on a vote separately, but we're going to present them together again because they're related.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Nathan Grace from the Planning Commission staff. Today, I'll be presenting two property bills that were introduced by Councilmember Bass on May 15th. The first one is Property Bill 250538, authorizing the Commissioner of Public Property on behalf of the City of Philadelphia to acquire a fee simple title of lesser real estate and all or portion of properties located at 1911 to 1927 Cayuga Street. And Property Bill 250537, authorizing a similar acquisition for the properties located at 4368 to 4374 Germantown Avenue. I'm presenting these bills together because the parcels are proposed to be part of the Nicetown Sport Court project that I'll be discussing briefly a little later. And this bill is to acquire these properties, and more properties will need to be acquired and zoning changes will need to be made to some parcels before that project can move forward and for construction to begin. This slide shows a timeline for a land transfer related to a property bill, and the Planning Commission's role is to ensure that the land transfer aligns with the goals of the comprehensive plan. So here's an overhead image of the two sites. These properties, stated earlier, are part of the Nicetown Sport Court project, which will feature a range of athletic and fitness facilities in the Nicetown neighborhood located underneath and adjacent to Roosevelt Boulevard. The current zoning of these sites are CMX2, Neighborhood Commercial Mixed Use, and active parks and open space. The northern parcels on Cayuga Street, along with other parcels are expected to be included in the project, will need to be rezoned to parks and open space before this project can continue. So this is a conceptual plan for the entire Knightstown Sport Court, which spans underneath and adjacent to Roosevelt Boulevard. Funding for this project includes local, state, federal, and grant funds. And this project will include a variety of facilities such as basketball courts, a skate park, pickleball courts, fitness equipment, public spaces for programming. And staff has been engaging with the Knightstown community since 2007 on this project. And additionally, Philadelphia Water Department will be installing some green stormwater infrastructure as part of this project. The North District Plan recommends expanding and redesigning the Knightstown Park to include the Knightstown Sport Courts. And for these reasons just stated, staff recommends approval of Zoning Bill 250538 and 250537.
Thank you, Nathan. We're going to have comments on both bills, so any comments from the commission?
I just have a question.
Sure.
Will this parcel be considered separate from the Knightstown Park, or will be included in the Knightstown Park
They'll be connected. I'm not sure the naming and things like that, but they will be touching each other.
No other questions from the commission? How about questions from the audience, sir? Good afternoon. You would tell us your name and sign in there?
Let me sign it first so you
okay.
Know who I am.
Okay, sure.
Should I give my address? Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Raymond Mongro. My last name is spelled M-U-N-G-R-O. I'm a resident and live at 1609 West Cayuga, right on the corner, expressway, and two blocks below this program. I'm also the block captain of the same area. I'm also a member of Knightstown Recreation Department. I'm a councilman. I'm all three wrapped into one. I just got finished doing a home on Cayuga for drugs on my block on Cayuga. I also got involved with the city department to make sure that in the 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 on the block of Cayuga is taken care of. The entire area of Cayuga is full of drugs. 19140 is number two in the city of Philadelphia. Number one is Kensington. That's how terrible it is. License and inspections having a time closing up their buildings at the 18th Street and on the corner of Germantown and Cayuga. There are two churches on that corner, on their hand side, of that same place. There's a funeral home right across the street from where this program is supposed to be going. Also in the community are residents, homeowners. Not new people, not young folks, but residents. They've been there for a long time, 28 years, 30 years, and more. Also, there's no traffic light at the corner. In order for the kids to go to Steele School, on the other side of Germantown, they have to cross Germantown Avenue. There's no lights there, and plus the traffic coming from the expressway comes down to Germantown Avenue, since the expressway is now opened up again. It's tremendous. Accidents on that corner and on Cayuga, I would say maybe two accidents, three accidents per week. And also the 16th wheelers go down the bottom of the hill are ridiculous. When a 16-wheeler go down the bottom of the hill, they can't stop. They don't do 20 miles an hour. They go 35 or 40. And that's the truth. I brought this here to let you know that the drug is serious in this community. So you take a look at that. That's how important not having this program on that street. And they propose to have it in the evening lights. The drug zone for drugs is on a corner, 18th Street, on the corner, Germantown Avenue. You can see the drug dealers out in the corner doing trades right on that corner. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, if you need a person to have sex, drugs, what have you, they go in that parking lot on the right side that they're talking about. They didn't tell you those things. And that was going on today. I didn't take any pictures, and I think I would need pictures to show you what goes on that bar. If you need so, I would be very happy to partake it there so you can see it personally. And the drugs dealers are still down at their location. That's how serious this is. I just got finished taking care of North Philadelphia. This area is worse than North Philly. And Kensington is tremendous. I asked this body to do not prove this. We'll have a better answer for this. And for the 4,300 block of Germantown Avenue, find out what they're gonna do to those homes. There were a club on the corner. A club, they made it out of a club with a shooting, and the person died on Germantown Avenue. And you wanna prove this? Unbelievable. And they did not come to the owners of the community to find out their answer, because they didn't come to my door. And they didn't come to my members in my apartment either. That's how serious this is. And then I bring a whole bunch of other folks because I don't think we need that. That's why I'm here today to talk about this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Sit there for just a moment, if you would. So, I have to tell you, your testimony was very well worded and very eloquent, but I didn't know where you were going with it until the end. I didn't know how it was going to fall out. And I'm not sure I know why you're making the recommendation that you're making. I'd like to learn more about what drives you to the conclusion that you came to.
There are two things. There's a place called Stetton Park Recreation Center. That's been there for a long time. And there is a historic building on that same premises called Stetton Mansion. The process and that community center is fantastic. Stetton Park is outstanding. If there are any increasements or any changes, can go there. As far as things of that nature, they're still working on that rec center. I'm trying today. Today is June, July, whatever it is. I'm still trying to put a internet system in that building. And they have millions of dollars to put on this process and can't put an internet system in a rec center. It's impossible. That's why I'm here, because the fact that dollars are being transferred and no one's communicating. I'm coming here to let you know that I'm upset and I'm angry because nothing's being done properly. And I hope this being recorded. That's the reason why I'm here, to answer those questions for you. I just came from the rec center yesterday, which the advisory team was closed down. They closed them out. But it still did a drug program of women playing baseball and children in the park yesterday. And the building was still closed down. And then when I prove this here, no, I'm not by myself. I could, but I'm not going to do this singly. And doing this process before, I did this in North Philadelphia. From Girard to Susquehanna, and from Broad Street to Second Street. The same process, and also education. It should not be approved, people. It should not.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, my name is Sterling Scott. I'll sign in, and I have a few comments to make. Okay, I'm a resident of Nicetown, 4600 block North 16th Street. I'm also the block captain. I'm also associated with the Citizen Congress of Nicetown that takes care of that park and the neighborhood. The project and the buildings y'all want to sell, the residents have no knowledge of this. The CDC, they don't send out the information. The city don't send us the information. We also have an RCO, which we don't have. We're just getting notification of these processes so we can be involved heavily with our community. Again, I'm with Fenton Park. We clean up building that park every day. We have events there, which we are always present, and we keep the neighborhood safe. Why the rec center is closed down is unknown to me. Prior to that, everything's going smoothly. We have a few rec leaders that come in and disrupt the whole program that we're running. Again, Ray says we have a baseball team set up. We have a basketball team set up. We have monthly meetings with the community, and the community's not being notified of what's going on in their community unless we get the word out to them. Again, the CDC in our area, they don't notify us, and we get on them about that. Now they're trying to respond and give us further notices. They're holding several meetings a day. Cindy Bass is supposed to be at this meeting, right? She's sits on the Parks and Recreation Board also. She's supposed to be taking place with this meeting. She's not here. She'll skip out, leave meetings early because she don't want to face the community. We need this issue rectified. We need these buildings, the residents notified which buildings they want to sell to the city or the city wants to purchase. We want to put a halt on this process so we can evaluate what's going on, who can acquire these buildings besides the city. We have homeless all over our nice town. We try the best to help them through the city programs that they do have. Now, we're going to be shut out from these processes. We can cause a disturbance, I'm sorry. We can cause a disturbance and to bring more attention to our community and about our community. And I think that's all I have to say. But please, work with us. You know, we've held down Stanton Park for X amount of years through the citizens, you know, and we're here to speak with the community. We're also fighting to get Marcus Foster Swimming Pool rebuilt, again, on historic lands. Stanton Park is on historic land. Marcus Foster Swimming Pool is well known. Our children don't have an outlet to swim. We have plenty of aquatics come in. They want to teach the children to swim, but then they have to go all the way to Huntington Park or to the other facilities that may have a swimming pool. We have something there, right there, that can turn the heat down in our neighborhood and get them involved. We're involving with the youth, the teenagers, the seniors. We want the seniors to come into our facility at the recreation center so they can have meet and greets. They can have their general talk. They can, you know, whip knit and things they need to do to keep them active in our community and make sure they're part of our community. They need to get out their houses, you know. We have access to a handicap. They can come in, and we can assist them that way. So whatever y'all do, please give us a form, and we don't want these buildings sold without community participation. And I think that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you, sir. Okay, David?
Thank you, Vice Chair. I have seven people with their hands raised. First, if you'll allow me, Dr. Deshwanda Williams. Dr. Williams, please let the commission know what you're thinking.
Greetings, commissioners. How are you today?
We're good.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on behalf today. My name is Dr. Deshwanda Williams, and I am a lifelong resident of the Nicetown, Tioga section of Philadelphia. My father, the late Dr. Barry J. Williams, was a pastor at New Inspirational Baptist Church, which is located at now 1907-1909. From 1978, being a resident there, we were also known as 4401 Germantown Avenue. It wasn't until maybe a decade ago that we were notified that we had to change our address to now 1907-1909. We understand, and let me go back. I served as pastor of that church for about a good 5 years, and alongside my father as the assistant pastor for more than 8 years prior to his passing, which actually on yesterday, June 4th, he passed away in 2011, on yesterday. So when we got notification that this meeting was being held today, we were very shocked because we, just like the gentleman said prior, we were not notified that these conversations were being had. We understand that we need improvement in our communities, because we do. Our community is highly, highly inundated with crime, poverty, homelessness. We are the second highest, as the gentleman said, in crime. Not only that, we are the second highest in illiteracy. We are the second highest in sexually transmitted disease. And I could go on and on about the facts around the reasoning why we have questions about this project. What I'm here to represent on today in reference to our community is that you take a consideration, if you can, commissioners, to give us the due process, to give us the right to have a standing room only conversation with the members of our community so that we could discuss and furthermore talk about what is really needed for our community contextually and situationally. For us in 1907, 1909 on the Cayuga side, that whole side would take up our entire church area. We want to understand what is the implications, what's the impact that this is going to bring to our community. Now, when you get to Germantown side, we also have great relationships with another church that's on that side, which is Universal. And then across from that, our partnership with Nicole and her funeral home and the great work that she does in the community, how does that impact us? How we just want to understand. Give us our due process to hear and share our concerns. I do not see at all a survey that was presented to the community that says about gauging their understanding of the implications and context of these developments. I would like for you guys to present that to us and say that that was done, because to our knowledge and to our understanding, it wasn't. We have the second highest rate of mental health issues. What we would like to see, instead of a skate park, a basketball court, which they can all do that on at Stinton Avenue, on Stinton Park, because they do provide that. Nicetown Park is already being renovated, and I understand it looks like it wants to be an extension over to our side. What about developing a mental health clinic or an educational literacy program that children can go in, brick and mortar, walk in for early intervention? Still School has a library that has been in need of renovation for over 2 decades. We need more brick and mortars that's going to help to address the homelessness, to help address the mental health issues. New Inspirational Baptist Church has been a beacon of that community since my father ascertained the church in 1977 and went in 1978. Prior to that, New Inspirational is a historical landmark because it was a Lutheran church. And for years, that church has been a beacon of hope, life, inspiration, and aspiration for betterment and for the best results that we could provide for our residents. Do we want progressive improvement? Of course we do. Do we want to see our children safe? Of course we do. But to create a sports complex does not fit the context and the social issues of our community is very alarming. So we want to understand, what is the impact? How is this? Where are we at the table? Have a conversation with them. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
The next person I have, the positions here keep changing. Veronica Holman. Veronica, welcome. Please address your comment or questions to the commissioners.
Hello, my name is Veronica Holman, and I am a 40-year plus resident of the community. I'm very active in the community. And I want to know, when will the zoning meeting also be held for this project? I live at 16th and Cayuga. I am not in agreement of the Nicetown Support Court project. And this is the first time that I heard this project be called Nicetown Support Court project. The name I saw on the handouts presented to the community meeting I attended was Nicetown Low Line. And I absolutely oppose this project. I oppose the expanding of the project also. When you review the things proposed in this small area surrounded by private residences, it would make you question why someone would want to impose this type of hardship on an established residential community of homeowners that is struggling to survive. This type of development is not what we need here at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I next have WingTech TMA. WingTech, please identify yourself and address your comment or question to the commissioners. WingTech? Okay. We'll go on to the next person. I have Majida Rashid. Hello, Ms. Rashid. Welcome. Please address your comment or question to the commissioners.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Okay. I just got on the meeting just to participate with it. And I must say that I'm very shocked at some of the comments that were being given. Most of the people that have testified, not all, but most of them we work with, have worked with in the community. And they have never said anything like that to me or my staff the way they have said it today. I know that many have voiced their opinion that they didn't really want the Nicetown Sports Court there. Part of the main reasons that they feel that way is because they don't understand it. Case in point, the individual that got on there and said that it's buildings. It's not buildings. And you probably can clarify that later. But, and another individual was just in our community center with his wife a little over a week ago, singing our praises and telling us how much they are thankful for us being in the neighborhood. Others referenced Stinton Park. Stinton Park and Community Center, which is shut down right now because members of the advisory council and others that have gone there have intimidated Parks and Recreation staff, and the commissioner shut the place down. We just found out about this yesterday. I spoke directly to them. They don't like us. That's fine. You know, the Nicetown CDC has been around for 23 years. The initial plans, surveys, everything for this sports court initiated over 10 years ago. As anybody that does development knows, it takes time to assemble land as well as assemble funding to fund projects. That's how long it took us. The Nicetown CDC has been in this area. Our CEO has a business that's been there for over 30 years. And it's part of the reason why the Nicetown CDC was established, because of all the ills that have been mentioned previously. Our track record speaks for itself. it's everybody's not going to agree with us, but they need to know that our intent is clear and we have a well-defined mission. It has not been easy, but I'm just here to say that I'm extremely, extremely disappointed in individuals that come out against their own. Against their own. And saying that we didn't do this and we didn't do that. We are mandated to do all of those things. But if you don't like something, you don't participate with it. So I just wanted to make sure I let my, what I had to say be said, and that I'm aware that it's a Jekyll and Hyde situation going on here, and it's unfortunate, and it's to the detriment of the community that we all say we serve. Another thing, we've been around for 23 years. Like I said, our track record speaks for itself, but all of these individuals that have stood here and came here and voiced this negative opinion about poverty, lack of housing, lack of mental, lack of education. What have you done in those 23 years to alleviate any of those issues? I ask that question. So we can work together to save our people and our communities, or we can keep going back and forth with this negative thing and people that are not educated on the process. And we have tried numerous times to explain. But if you're bullheaded, you don't want to hear because you don't like somebody or you don't like an organization, it's not going to work. But I'm asking everybody here, contact the Philadelphia Parks and Recreation. That's all you got to do. And you will find out that people have been chased away from Stinton Park, including people that were there trying to help and everything else. So we're either part of the problem or we're part of the solution. We got to make up our minds today what role we're going to hold. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am going, we have a lot of other folks with their hands raised, so I'm going to ask you all to please, when I meet you, tell the commissioners whether you're for or against the property sales in these bills, and then please state something new or different than hasn't been said before. So, Charisma, good afternoon. For or against, please, and something maybe that has not been said.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Hi, I'm against the proposal for the parcels of land. And I just want to remind everyone just to be careful of a single story. When you hear one thing about what happened at Sin Park and you didn't hear from the community or the people who were there. So we just have to be careful. I just wanted to clarify that this isn't a personal issue. This is just a community issue where community is asking to be notified, to be informed, and to be aware of what's taking place in their area. And so I guess if there's any way you can share the parcel picture, because I noticed that the odd numbers are on the side of the church, but on here, it doesn't look the odd numbers of Cayuga Street. It looks like they're across the street. So I wanted some clarity around that.
Can you repeat that question, please?
Oh, sure. So Pastor D shared that her church is 1907 and 1909 Cayuga Street. But then I see the properties, the parcels that are up are 11, 13, 15, and 17. But they're not on that side of the street. They're on the other side. Is there something with the address change, or shouldn't that be the even side?
I could double check. That's just what came up when we looked it up on Atlas on the city's website.
Because I know residents live on the I side. So that was a question for me. And then my concern is that this is supposed to be an underpass project, but it seems like we're moving beyond the underpass. We're going, we're coming into the street. And so it's no longer underpass. I know the community has voiced concern about some of the activities that will be under those underpass, such as pickleball and being too close to the home. So those were like just my biggest concern. And my other concern is that there is no traffic light from Wayne Junction to Germantown in Bristol. And we're calling this a sports court where kids will be crossing the street, and it's like a speedway. And so that would also need to be addressed. But if we're calling it the Lowline Underpass Project and we're going outside of the underpass, I think that's, you know, I don't think that's fair to the community. And we're asking that the community just be notified, that they be notified and we have meetings. And when we talk about notification, understanding that the people who live in that immediate vicinity, they don't know. They didn't even know that this meeting was taking place and that this was happening. So that's a big concern for the community, is proper notification. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. I have next Tomiko Akins. Would you please let the commissioners know whether you're for or against, and say something new or different if you can, please.
Can you hear me?
We certainly can.
I'm against it. I've been a resident of that neighborhood for over 40 years. My pastor, it was the late Barry J. Williams as well, which is my godfather, who was a pillar in the community as well. My issue is that I am an educator, and I have a problem with putting sports over top of education. Our kids need something more to focus on than sports. Our black and brown children, there's a lot of things going on in that community that needs to be cleaned up before we even decide to develop anything. We need to develop our community first. I have lost several students in that neighborhood to gun violence. And one recently just passed, LGBTQ, Quine, was a student of mine. And I feel like we need to reach our kids in a better aspect. Where do we go from? I look at all the emails from Nicetown. I did not see this. I am on the email. They were just in the community. I went to another community thing that they had over on Erie Avenue and put my email on there again. Why is it that I did not know about this bill today? Are we lacking in communication? Because I'm not understanding. What are we going to do with the next generation that's coming up? We keep saying the youth, but what are we doing for the youth? Sports is not everything. We need to put something in place to educate our kids. Matter of fact, I'm not going to even say kids. I'm going to say our scholars, because they're not goats and they don't live on a farm. Our scholars need to be educated on how to do things. Life skills, things of that nature, to be business people, to learn how to communicate with others. We have a lot of kids, and as I said, I'm an educator. They have mental health issues, and they need somewhere to go, someone that they can talk to, a therapist. Yes, I am against this. Sports is not what we need right now, and it's going to affect our community, building this zoning that you all are trying to build. I'm very much against it.
Thank you very much. I next have Patricia Ford. Patricia, welcome. Again, for or against, and please let us know something new that has not been said. Patricia, you please speak with the correct commissioners if you're able.
Mute. Hello.
Hello, Ms. Ford.
Yes, my name is Patricia Ford. I've lived in this community for 39 years. I was one of the people who was at the Nicetown CDC when it first started. I started volunteering it after the passing of my mother. I knew about this project because it was brought up at the CDC. A lot of what everyone else is saying has some truth to it. But people do not come to the meetings. They cannot get parents to come to the school meetings. So the neighborhood is the same way. This information was given out because people that came to the meetings were also outside when the developers were showing them what was going where. For some reason, as Ms. Rashid said, there is a disconnect between Stenton Park and the Nicetown CDC. Obviously, no one knows why. I was not notified of this meeting until a person that sends out emails every day to every person who has given her their email address, informing the community of what's going on and what's happening. I've been at every meeting at Stenton Park. I did not know about this until a person sent me an email telling me or asking me did I know. I am a member of the Nicetown Block Captain Club. I am also a member of the Horticultural Society of Pennsylvania. And I also am a liaison from Kendra Book's office. And I am truly, truly involved with this neighborhood as much as I can without falling out. And for some reason, there is this big disconnect. Thank you very much. Patricia Ford.
And thank you, Ms. Ford. I next have Pastor Barry Williams. I'm not seeing the person anymore. Oh, there they are. Pastor Barry Williams. Welcome.
I am currently against this project as of right now. And I know I am Pastor Barry Williams. I am the pastor of the New Inspirational Baptist Church located right there at 1907 to 1915 West Cayuga Street. I am against this project. And I know that you asked that we have a different comment, but this sentiment has to be echoed because as the pastor of the New Inspirational Baptist Church that sit directly across the street from this proposed project, I myself did not know about this project. You know, I've been in this community for over 43 years, and I got a phone call last night at 11.